KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's 18 degrees. We look for patchy fog and some fog. It's a freezing drizzle this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy to cloudy and a high near 30. Good morning, and once again, Happy New Year. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A recently released Iowa State University land survey, or land value survey, that has found a modest 1.7% statewide increase in the value of farmland. Survey leader Wendong Jung said that one of the factors in the increase is the lack of available lands.
When someone owns the land, on average, people half the land are owned by the same owner for 20 years. So it's stay in the family for a fairly long time.
Zhang says land that is sold is often bought by someone who lives nearby.
Even when it comes to transfer, this tends to be sold to local existing farmers. If it ever goes to the market, another channel would be will or gift or sale within the family.
And the average price of an acre of ground in the survey this year was $7,559. The Iowa Department of Public Health this morning reports there have been 2,133 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 and test results received since 10 a.m. Thursday for a pandemic total to date of 282,436. IDPH said Thursday there have been 69 additional deaths recorded statewide since Wednesday for a statewide death toll of 3,891 and a staggering one-month total of 1,382 deaths, about 35% of the entire year's total deaths and twice the number reported in November. The high number is likely reflective of the escalation of virus transmission in early to mid-November, when daily new case counts surged between 4,000 and 5,000 a day. Of Iowa's pandemic-related deaths, COVID-19 is reported as the underlying cause for 3,571 deaths, while 320 are listed as a contributing factor. In southwest Iowa, there was one more death reported yesterday in each of Guthrie, Harrison, Mills, and Union counties, and two more in Pottawatomie County. The IDPH today reports 109 COVID-19 outbreaks at long-term care facilities in the state. That is two less than Thursday. Those outbreaks account for 4,558 of Iowa's current positive cases. COVID-19 outbreaks at long-term care facilities account for 1,139 of the state's total deaths. And health officials say 3,025 LTC patients and staff have recovered from the effects of the virus. IDPH says this morning hospitalizations were down from 600 on Thursday to 575 today. There are 117 patients in an ICU. That's 17 less than on Thursday. 83 were admitted to hospitals compared to 76 on Thursday. 63 patients are on ventilators today. That's 6 less than yesterday. Hospitals in western and southwest Iowa, Region 4, report 32 are hospitalized, 13 in an ICU, 2 were admitted to a hospital, and 8 people are on a ventilator. And according to the state's website, a total of 1,359,657 Iowans have received COVID-19 tests. The average positivity rate for the past 14 days is inching upward to 12.7%. The health department says 241,229 Iowans have recovered from COVID-19. Here in Cass County, we have 17 more positive cases since 10 a.m. on Thursday, for a total thus far of 1,055. Adair County has 5 new cases, Adams County 4. Audubon County is up 12 to 381. Guthrie County is up 7. There are 13 more cases in Harrison County, 10 more in Madison County, 14 in Mills. 58 new positive cases in Pottawatomie County, where their total for the pandemic is now at 8,302. Shelby County has 4 more cases, and Union County has 10 more. You can take a look at the county breakdown in the same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Iowa officials say the number of initial unemployment claims increased slightly last week. Workforce Development said Thursday that 7,644 Iowans filed initial unemployment claims in the week ending last Saturday. That's an increase of 373 from the previous week. A total of 38,296 continuing weekly unemployment claims were recorded last week, which is an increase of 804 from the week prior. Unemployment claims are generally higher between November and February because of seasonal layoffs in construction, agriculture, landscaping, and manufacturing, as you might expect. The agency said 70.6% of claimants who filed last week said their claims were not COVID-19 related, and that's an increase of 68.9% from the previous week. In other news, women will be the majority of Iowa's congressional delegation in this new year. Mary Ellen Miller is the former director, executive director of the 50-50 in 2020, a group formed in 2010 to encourage women to run for office.
The reason we set up the program to recruit and train women was Iowa was in a unique situation of being only one of two states that had never sent a woman to Congress or elected a woman governor. And in 10 years, that has all been turned around. I'm just, of course, very proud of our work, but also amazed at how quickly it all changed.
Members of the U.S. House and Senate will be sworn into office on Sunday, the 3rd. Congresswoman Cindy Axne of Des Moines will then be the dean of the Iowa legislation, in the U.S. House, where she'll be joined by two other women and a man. Joni Ernst will be sworn in for a second term in the U.S. Senate as well, so women will hold 4 of the 6 seats in Iowa's D.C. delegation. 50-50 in 2020 aimed to have Iowa women serving at least half elected roles and disbanded last January. Miller said there are now several organizations doing the same work of encouraging and coaching women to run for office.
Very proud of our work, very excited, but also kind of blown away by the speed at which the whole landscape reversed itself.
Miller says the landscape has shifted partly due to generational change.
If you look at the age of women running, they're much younger. They grew up in a time of post-women's liberation, post-birth control. They're of an age that really are not intimidated by the customs, so to speak, of our public servant environment. It was always a good old boys' club. And they just don't have any patience with that.
Another contributing factor is the increasing numbers of women who are running for office.
Once women see other women running, then they go, oh, I can do that. But at the beginning, they just didn't have those role models. They didn't have those images that looked like them.
Miller predicts the next shift in Iowa and elsewhere will be toward electing more people of color and new American citizens who become active in the political process. Finally, in the news this hour, Republican Congressman Steve King says he plans to stay active in the country's political debates once his 9th term in the U.S. House ends at noon on Sunday, and the 71-year-old is not ruling out running for another public office.
After 24 years of public service in the middle of the heart of all of these important issues, there's a lot of accumulated experiences that I just can't let go to waste. I want to make sure that they're available and then I can help people.
King served 6 years in the Iowa legislature before winning his first race for the U.S. House in 2002. That is, he narrowly won re-election in 2018, and then was defeated by fellow Republican Randy Feenstra in the GOP primary this past June. Feenstra will take King's seat in Congress on Sunday.
It should be very clear that the hierarchy within the party has not been my friend. The leadership in the United States Congress has not been my friend. They have worked together to orchestrate a result that they seem to all be very pleased with. That's something we have to work around, but it's a reality.
And King periodically gained national attention with controversial comments. Nearly 2 years ago, the Republican leader in the U.S. House removed King from the committees after King's remarks about white supremacy. King says you can never say never, and he's not ruling out running for some other office or endorsing a presidential candidate for the 2024 Iowa caucuses.
That's my frustration, is that the publisher that I had, I let him go because he was, I'll just put it this way, all hat and no cattle. And so now I'm on the cusp of reaching another agreement. I don't know that I can predict when the book will be out, but I want to make sure we get this right.
He's referring there to a book he's written entitled Walking Through the Fire, and that he announced this fall that it will be released in November. Once the book is finally published, King plans to embark on a publicity tour. King was not in Washington this past Monday when the U.S. House voted to override the president's veto and to endorse sending $2,000 federal stimulus payments to almost every American. King says he had a cold and it didn't seem wise to fly.
Can you imagine sitting on a plane coughing away and blowing your nose and having him call for an emergency landing because they diagnosed you with COVID? So it's just a cold, but I looked at that and I thought I'd still take the chance, but I knew the results of both of those votes, and so that's why I didn't go to Washington.
King, in one of his final acts in the U.S. House, filed a 20-page ethics complaint against House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, a final protest of McCarthy's decision to strip King of his committee assignments. King says a search of House records by congressional staff suggests every other member of the U.S. House who's been tossed off committees either switched parties, was under some sort of investigation, or had been convicted of a crime. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.